on Senate Bill 5621, the Employment Relations Board, and turn to our LFO staff.
Madam Chair and members of the committee, before you is Employment Relations Board. I'm going to walk you through the recommendation. The first part of your packet contains three memos that you had requested as part of the joint subcommittee process, providing some additional information on the amount of staff turnover that they had experienced, as well as you had requested additional information from the school board on the interim funding task force. So that is in your packet. I'm going to have you go through performance measures first this afternoon. So that is the first page right after the three memos. LFO is recommending two additional measures be added to the measures that the agency is currently tracking. They've modified several of these and did a pretty good job of getting those, I think, in line with what the subcommittee was requesting. The two proposed measures attempt to address work in progress, what is remaining to be done when a reporting period is closed. So the first one addresses the number of new cases that were in a year, the number of disposed cases and those pending before both the administrative law judges and the boards. The second case, or the second measure, measures the average number of days that those pending cases have been outstanding at the close of the reporting period. As well as the two standard customer service measures are being added. I'll come back to the budget note in a moment. We move on to the numerical recommendations. Again, you probably recall the public hearing and testimony on the amount of workload going through here, the reductions that were taken in last session, the additions that were proposed to add back were some training money, restoring 0.33 of an administrative support person and adding an administrative law judge. This recommendation restores the 0.33 but does not add back the administrative law judge. In consultation with the agency's new administrator, we also went through and essentially did a zero-based budget on the 12 positions that are in the agency, as well as their service and supplies budget, and believe then that the total recommended budget should cover the following areas within their services and supplies. That fully funds the travel that they have been using for mediation and hearings, provides a travel and training budget for various staff in the agency, supports some additional contract services for shared client services to help them with accounting and budgeting, supports their research tools, fully funds their rent, gives them a relatively small but should meet their needs for this biennium expendable property budget, as well as it provides $30,000 for transcription services. We do know, or at least we anticipate, that $30,000 does not cover the full cost of the transcriptions that they anticipate doing, but would note that they have two administrative positions that have transcription skills as part of their job requirements, so just asking that they manage to the best of their ability with that. And then to the budget note, Madam Chair. This is proposing, knowing that there was some concern about the funding split and the ongoing needs of this agency, this budget note is proposed and approved by the co-chairs, directing them to continue to find efficiencies and ensure assessment funding only covers the cost of state cases. And then if performance measures cannot be met, and quite frankly, they're not expected to probably given this level of funding, that ERB is directed to prioritize the workload originating from state cases before they do local or private.
Does that conclude your
yes,
report?
Yes, concludes.
Any questions from the committee? Senator Morse.
Madam Chair, with respect to the budget note, I guess the budget note begs the question, to what degree do local units of government depend on ERB to the extent that, you know, resources are not available and you begin prioritizing and dropping them?
I'm going to ask Mr. Gamson to come up for two reasons. First of all, to respond to Senator Morris's question, and then just as a courtesy to the agency heads and to get it on the record, I want to make sure that you've had the opportunity to review this with Ms. Brown, and if you have any comments. But if you would begin by identifying yourself and responding to Senator Morris's question, that would be great.
Thank you, Chair Johnson. I'm Paul Gamson. I am the chair of the Employment Relations Board. Chair Johnson, Senator Morse, could you please repeat that? I'm not sure I got the gist of what your question is.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
my question arises from the budget note language, which implies that if the workload is greater than we have resources to provide, that you would begin prioritizing it and dropping off local units of government and focusing on state agencies. And my question is, to what degree do local units of government depend on ERB to provide resolution to labor disputes and labor issues?
We don't have an exact number on percentage-wise, but it appears to me that it is in the 55% or so range of our work comes from local government. So the mediation services that the local governments depend on for very prompt response, because they attempt to resolve existing disputes that are near the end of the dispute resolution process, and if not resolved, proceed to strike. So timely provision of services there seems very important. And in the unfair labor practice field, you know, in some ways, timeliness is what we have to offer as a service. I think I spoke a bit last time about some of the things that happen if the agency gives slower service, and one of the things is, for example, if there is a back pay case involving local government, the back pay will extend for a longer period of time, assuming that we find some sort of a violation. For employees or for a bargaining dispute that we're handling, there also will be some sort of a languishing of disputes. So my sense is, based on our caseload, that local governments rely on us to a fair extent. I hope that answers. I'm not sure if that gets to the gist of what you were asking.
Madam Chair, you know, it's been a while since we've heard this budget, but my recollection was that we had apparent deficiencies in resources and support services and adjudication, you know, of cases. And my recollection also is that local units of government couldn't come to agreement on how to provide adequate resources and assessments to help your agency perform to some standard of excellence. So I guess what I'm reading into this budget note is, and correct me if I'm out of line here, Monica particularly, is that we're willing to move forward with the state and we'll leave the other agencies kind of in a second tier status. Is that the direction we're going with this budget note?
I'd let Mr. Gamson take a crack at it, and I'd take a crack at the answer. Maybe to make it easier if I took the first stab.
Please.
It has been my observation as this session has matured and conversations have, and by matured I mean gotten longer.
Thank you. You're not confused.
It has been my observation that the Employment Relations Board is one in a series, and in fact the next budget we're going to see this afternoon is another one that I would lump into this same general area, although I think we have a more global direction that we'll be heading with GSPC. But employment relations is one in a series of sort of unresolved continuing issues between the state and the counties with respect to our shared services delivered to the same constituencies. And it has been my observation now in three terms that we continue to come to session by session agreements and that we aren't finding global solutions that are memorialized in some way that transcend the immediate session and that can be relied upon to go into the next session and to build on. While I'm supportive of this budget as it's presented, I still think that it begs the question of the usage by local government of your services, the efficacy of those services, and I would submit that they are substantial, and how we cannot be having this same conversation next session. I think part of what this budget note is looking at is some additional record keeping on your part so that we have really concrete numbers to go into the next session, as well as I would like to see some effort made for you to work with local government to come in here and have them address more realistically before whatever panel is sitting here the next time exactly what those demands are and some kind of a recommendation for how they be paid for other than not out of our purse, thank you very much. I think we have a very serious problem here, and if we don't have an employment relations board that has the adequate tools, the adequate staffing, and the adequate financing to deal with some of these labor issues, we pay a much steeper price further down the road. But I see this budget note as instructive in what remains, in my opinion, an unresolved issue, and that's this agency as an example of our inability to come to agreement on some of these state and local government responsibilities. I would invite your response, particularly if you disagree.
Chair Johnson, I have very little to add to that. I would echo many of the things that you said, particularly about the need for some sort of stability. It does seem to be a theme, whether it's large groups like school funding or small groups like us, but the need for some sort of predictability and stability and not having to come in on a biennial basis and fight the same fight over again and not know what the funding sources are going to be. I would point out that in the task force, the governor's task force, which brought together the brain trust of the labor side, the management side, and there were also some representatives from government, one of the conclusions was the preference was to maintain status quo, but there was kind of an out clause, a but clause. But if the amount of money received from the status quo is inadequate, then increased fees would be the way to go. And the preference was for adequate funding as opposed to, I believe, as being a member of that task force, the preference was for adequate funding rather than for not from my pocketbook. And if my recollection serves, at the last hearing, which was quite a while ago, there were several, there was certainly one management person who I remember coming up to the table and testifying and saying that local government would be willing to pay its share if that's what it takes to get an adequately funded, fully functioning agency that is able to meet its mission.
Well, I really think that this budget and this budget note is a clarion call to you and your staff to begin to give some serious thought to what a new model might look like. I really do consider this unresolved, and we had a lot of people coming in here and saying why they could not participate or did not choose to participate, and I think less emphasis put on the value that your services do and could confer on state and local government. And I fully anticipate you returning to the next session with a report on what it was that you were able to accomplish, as well as those things that were left on the table, and have the data to back that up, and then we renew this conversation next session. Because I still think, even though you now have been provided with the tools, that there are still some potential inadequacies here, and I don't want to leave cases unresolved because we couldn't collectively figure out a mechanism. And by local government, I think that conversation clearly includes not just county, but also other people that use your services. I happen to see someone from the education community coming in the back of the room, perhaps bad timing on his part because it focused my attention on his organization. But there's a larger universe of beneficiaries of a well-functioning employment relations board, and I think unless I'm corrected by my colleagues, you hear from us a desire to have you begin to think about what a framework might look like that would offer a different model to support your agency. Senator Morsett.
Thank you. I don't know if I have the correct figure? Did you say about 55% is local government?
So that's a very rough figure.
Could you break that down? I'm kind of curious about which segment of local government. Well, you don't have to do it now, but I'd like to have
information to have
about if it's a school segment that is most cities, schools, special districts. It would be, I'd like to have.
I will provide that.
Okay.
And perhaps in fairness to Mr. Gampson, I would anticipate, Senator, that he will return, his agency will return to the next legislature with detailed information with respect to the breakdown.
Well, just in case I have to carry this, I'd like to know what I'm talking
about. Oh, got here a volunteer.
Well,
it's
no,
gonna
I'm
be a great
I'm
day.
Having spent a lot of time both in the school district association and the city, and being familiar with the county and special districts, I'm interested and concerned about which jurisdictions may get the short end of the stick, and so to speak. So if you could have a breakdown of where the most demand comes from the local government.
We can provide that.
Yeah,
I believe that it's available. I just don't have it with me.
I'm going to shift you away from that and back to a more global approach. Have you had the opportunity to discuss this LFO recommendation with the professional staff, Ms. Brown?
I have.
And you're noting that there were some programs that were funded as it is presented. Are there any things you want to put on the record prior to the committee taking action?
So the one thing that I would like to put on the record, and I believe I alluded to it but didn't really, I'm not sure if I focused directly on it in the last session, was as we discussed, but for a variety of reasons, we essentially have 2.5 administrative law judges now, and this budget will fund about 2 administrative law judges, and that combined with the budget note, not a certainty, but one of the obvious types of cuts, and again, it's one that would fall on local governments, would be to do away with our administrative law judges traveling to the site of the hearing. Typically, we will send one administrative law judge out to Joseph or Enterprise rather than having, 10 staff members from a school district come all the way to Salem, but for budget purposes, that probably is not going to be something that I'm going to be able to do. I think we have something in the neighborhood of 60 or 70 travel days a year, so that will give back to the hearings division 60 or 70 days that can be used instead of for travel, can be used to hold hearings and for research and writing purposes, and that probably is something that I will need to do. And the reason I want to bring it up is because it could place a significant a cost shifting, I guess, is the way to look at it, is the way I see it, a cost shifting to local government to have them bring 12 people here instead of us sending one person out there. So I just want to make sure that it's on the record that is a likely consequence.
And I would just like to touch base with the professional staff to assure Mr. Gampson that an opportunity to make a presentation to the e-board exists if we are seeing a significant cost shift. And I think by setting the record here, if that begins to occur, to invite you to come back to the legislature through the e-board and make them aware of the cost shifting that's going on.
Thank you, Chair Johnson.
And my assumption is correct, is it not, Ms. Brown?
Okay.
Great. All right. Well, then we're going to take this in two parts. The chair would entertain a motion to accept the LFO recommendations as outlined by Ms. Brown. Senator Morissette moves the LFO recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. The chair would then entertain a motion on accepting the performance measures as presented by Ms. Brown with the new measures included.
So moved.
Senator Morissette moves the performance measures as presented by LFO. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And that, I think, Ms. Brown, unless you tell me differently, we need carriers and a final motion on to So the chair would entertain a motion to move Senate Bill 5621 as amended to the Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation.
So moved.
Senator Morissette moves Senate Bill 5621 as amended to the Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation, and I heard implicit in that motion the volunteer carrier option. So ordered. We need somebody for full. Senator Morris, would you be willing to volunteer? All right. You want to keep them together? You want to do both the full and the... And
I'm very amenable to do it as you would wish.
Well, then we'll do it this way. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, Mr. Gamson.
Thank you.
All right, I am going to close the work session on Senate Bill 5621, the Employment Relations Board, and open a work session on Senate Bill 5622, Government Standards and Practices. Welcome, welcome Mr. Rocco. And begin by asking for your wisdom as we move through the LFO recommendations.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members. We have House Bill, Senate Bill 5622, Government Standards Practices Commission Budget. I have given you some work session papers. Basically, this budget is reduced from the governor's recommended budget. Due to the non-inclusion of one package to add a position, but we'll go through the details in a second. The first item on the list is the performance measures. As you will recall, during the earlier hearings on this budget, there was considerable discussion on the performance measures, and the recommendation is to add six measures. Two of these are just sort of additional measures to measures they already had. For example, the number of days from filing of complaint to completion of preliminary review. There's a statutory maximum of 90. They added one would just compute a percentage of how many complaints are actually completed within that time limit. And similar with the number of days from finding of cause to completion of investigation that has 120-day statutory maximum. So the added measure would just be the percentage of investigations completed within that time limit. There was discussion about adding a customer satisfaction measure related to training presentations of the that the agency provides to public officials and lobbyists. So that's been added, and we would assume the agency would develop a survey instrument to administer at the conclusion of those training sessions. The agency wanted to add a measure on percentage of contested cases settled before hearing, which the committee agreed to. And then the final two are the standard customer satisfaction measures that are being added to all budgets.
That concludes your report.
That's on performance measures. The budget detail, if you look at the work session action report starting on page 3, there are package 070, which LFO is recommending approval, is a revenue shortfall package, just getting their other funds revenues that they get from the sale of materials in line with their actuals. This is because of the availability of materials through the internet and their web page. They've had lower receipts from sales. Package 090 is a analyst adjustment package that's being recommended. This is savings from the Smart Buy initiative. Package 100 restored the agency's clerical support position to full-time status by adding 0.2 FTE. LFO is recommending approval of that with a slight reduction of $135 for the lower PERS rate. Package 200 was the in the governor's budget, the restoration of a second investigator position to the agency, and LFO is recommending denial of this package at this time. Package 801 are LFO analyst adjustments, and these reflect the changes in the lower PERS rate and the reduced attorney general rate. This budget is identical to the budget passed this morning out of the House subcommittee, General Government Subcommittee. And there is no 3% reduction in this budget, so because of the size of the agency, we felt that that would be a difficult burden for them to accommodate. The total total budget is approximately 13% above the 0305 adopt legislatively approved level, and approximately 16.7% below the governor's recommended level, and that's due to these technical adjustments and the elimination of the investigator position. The co-chairs have approved the inclusion of a budget note, which states when reviewing complaints and determining whether or not to pursue an issue arising from a complaint to the greatest extent practicable, the Government Standards and Practices Commission shall prioritize complaints originating from state government activities over those originating at the local government level. I think this is a reflection of the co-chair's concern that the bulk of the agency's workload comes from local government complaints, but yet the commission is entirely funded by state general fund. And I would like to point out to you that there is a bill in Senate budget, Senate Bill 420, that would have the Oregon Law Commission do an in-depth review of all the ethics laws of the state during the next interim, including a look at regulations on lobbyists and the funding mechanisms that may be suitable for a commission like the Government Standards and Practices Commission. And that bill is hasn't been worked yet, but I understand it's going to be scheduled soon. That's about it.
Senator Morse.
The same situation is true with the other the last budget in terms of emphasis on state infractions, and as a former local elected official, I know a lot of my friends will be happy about that. But as one who totally supports what you do, I'm not happy about it. I I really feel that we are underfunding your agency, and I think we need to step up to the plate. I don't think it's given the magnitude of this local potential for infraction simply in number as opposed to the state, we're going to be missing a lot, and you're not going to be able to investigate. You didn't get your extra investigator, which hampers your ability, and I would be happy to work during the interim to try to help take a look at the funding mechanisms. I think it's an extremely important mission.
Hopefully, Senator, that's what Senate Bill 420 will accomplish. And we had quite a lengthy discussion teeing up to what 420 would look like, including the opportunity to very thoughtfully review funding mechanisms to take the vicissitudes of the legislative cycle out of the funding to make sure that we have a program that functions to the satisfaction of citizens, that's understandable to legislators, that is clear to the lobby what will constitute the kind of behaviors that would be acceptable in government in Oregon. And I'm quite enthusiastic that that bill, while it doesn't satisfy some of the shortcomings this time, that that bill will tee up the opportunity to very seriously and thoughtfully look at what some of the funding solutions for this agency would be. Follow-up, yeah. Senator Morsett.
Well, because there are so many more local special district elected officials who come and go and who don't have the experience or the guidance, I think that there's a potential to miss a lot, which is unfortunate and cause a lot more customer dissatisfaction from local citizens because things are you know, going on that perhaps shouldn't be, and I think that will show up some at some point. It will have repercussions for elected officials in general, and so I think we're ignoring 75% of the elected officials or more. I mean, not entirely ignoring them. I don't know what the breakdown is. 55% with the herb board. In fact, that would be a good if you could get some information what the ratio of your cases are today between state and all local, that would be interesting to have.
Let's ask Mr. Hearn to come forward. I was going to do the same thing, both to answer Senator Morissette's question and then to offer any comments that you have with respect to the LFO recommendations. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Chair Johnson, members of the subcommittee. I'm Pat Hearn, Executive Director of the Government Standards and Practices Commission. Senator Morissette, I don't have specific figures with me. I certainly can extrapolate them, but I can assure you that the ratio of cases involving local government versus state employees or state officials, the local government is in well in excess of 90% of the caseload.
Wow.
Well, and hopefully, with the undertaking that the legislature is going to ask the Law Commission to take on, perhaps to the exclusion of any of their other more traditional workload, I believe we're going to have a very comprehensive package coming back. In the last discussions that I was party to, there is commitment to provide an interim task force with adequate money to look at this very serious problem and to provide the Law Commission with the tools that they need to do a comprehensive review. And the meeting included many of the special interest groups that are particularly interested in having this inquiry undertake all aspects of the behaviors of the lobby, expectations of legislators. So I would anticipate that this will be a fairly comprehensive review. Senator Morissette?
Yeah, man. Well, I can't think of a local case that would take the time and the resources of your department as a major state case, like SAFE. I mean, that probably really drained your resources. So depending upon what happens at the state level, you'll have more resources than you've had in this past year for local. But still, when the state cases get the publicity, and that's where those are probably much, much, much more complicated than a local case. But I think it's it's bad government not to have the resources to deal with the infractions.
Okay, thank you. Mr. Hearn, have you had the opportunity to review this with Mr. Rocco, and do you want to offer any comments for the record before the committee acts?
Chair Johnson, yes, I have had an opportunity to meet and discuss it with Mr. Rocco. The commission appreciates the restoration of the 0.2 FTE administrative support position, appreciates tentative agreement on the part of the co-chairs to not reduce the 3% services and supplies, and we certainly look forward to doing everything we can to assist and provide positive input to the Law Commission should the amended SB 420 become law.
Thank you very much. Any questions for Mr. Hearn? Okay. Senator Morris.
Thank you, Chair.
Chair, based on the hearings that we've had previously, absent Senate Bill 420 and that vehicle to provide remedies to the deficiencies that we have, I wouldn't be very comfortable advancing this budget without that. So I think it's incumbent upon us to work hard to try to get that through both sides of the assembly.
I couldn't agree with you more, and I'm speaking very positively as though this is a done deal based on a meeting that several of us in the room attended, and I agree with you. My confidence that it's going to be heard is high, and that's what I think paves the way to feel as though this is a good stopgap solution until we can have the more thoughtful review and the positive recommendations that everyone's looking forward to receiving from the Law Commission inquiry. Okay, any other comments or questions? The chair then would entertain a recommendation with respect to the LFO, a motion with respect to the LFO recommendation for government standards and practice. We'll do the performance measures separately. Senator Morris moves the LFO recommendations with respect to Senate Bill 5622. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. The chair would now entertain a motion with respect to the performance measures for Government Standards and Practices Commission. Senator Morris moves the LFO recommended performance measures for the Government Standards and Practices Commission. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And we need a carrier. I'd be happy to. Okay, Senator Morris, both in full and on the floor. And then I think the final thing that we need is to move the budget to the Senate Special Committee on Budget. Senator Morris moves Senate Bill 5622 as amended to the Senate Special Committee on Budget with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objection? So ordered. And with that, we will close the work session on Senate Bill 5622. And unless there are any additional comments from the panel or our professional staff, we stand adjourned. And